dispatched a man from his presence. Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, "Are you aware that this is a murderer has sent someone to take off my head? When the messenger comes, see that you shut the door and hold it closed against him. Is not the sound of his master's feet beneath him?" While he was still speaking with them, the king came toward him.
"This trouble is from the Lord. Why should I hope in the Lord anymore?"
But Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria." Then the captain on whose hand the Lord leaned said to the man of God, "Even if the Lord were to make the windows in the sky, could such thing happen?" But Elisha said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat from it." Now there were 4 leprous men outside the city gates who said to one another,
"Why should we sit here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we shall also die. Therefore, let us desert to the Aramean camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die."
So they arose at twilight to go to the Aramean camp. But when they came to the edge of the Aramean camp, there was no one there at all. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the sound of the chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "The king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and fled for their lives. When these leprous men had come to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent, ate and drank, carried off silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back, entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. Then they said to one another,
"What we are doing is wrong. This is a day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we'll be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household."
So they came to the gatekeepers of the city.
"We went to the Aramean camp, but there was no one to be seen or heard there. Nothing but the horses tied, the donkeys tied, and the tents as they were."
Then the gatekeepers called out and proclaimed it to the king's household. The king got up in the night and said to his servants,
"I'll tell you what the Arameans have prepared against us. They know that we're starving. So they have left the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, 'When they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city.'"
One of his servants said, "Let someone take 5 of the remaining horses, since these left here will suffer the fate of the whole multitude of Israel that have perished already. Let us send and find out." So they took 2 mounted men, and the king sent them after the Aramean army.
"Go and find out."
So they went after them as far as the Jordan. The whole way was littered with garments and equipment, and the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the camps of the Arameans. So a measure of choice meal was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the captain, on whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. But the people trampled him to death in the gate, just as the man of God had said when the king came down to him.
These stories from the Elisha cycle, we've been telling them all summer. They overwhelm me with their energy. They're real. They're about things that are happening right now inside of you, inside of me. The besieged city. It's right here. Here is the starvation. Here, the violence. Here, the betrayal. The blindness. The leprosy. And here, too, is the possibility of change. We've given our whole summer series over to these Elisha cycle stories so that you might focus in on one single idea week by week, the way life forces focus in on an embryo week by week until life is given birth within. The single question is, who are you and who must you become? Your religion provides answers to these questions. Sinner, disciple, saved, so on. But tragically, every religious answer that can actually be written down as if put in the answer pages of a book is actually worthless when you need it most. You don't need to be right. You need to be good. These stories were saved for hundreds of years for you and for me, for our souls. They are maps to hidden treasure. That's what they're there for. Not to report stuff that happened. Maps to hidden treasure. Really undertaking this adventure, really following the actual steps that are laid out, is the only way to the treasure, and the treasure is your humanity. Think about these things with me. Think about this beloved city, the capital, besieged by the enemy. No crops are coming in from the fields. No one's going out either. There is no freedom in the beloved city. Carrion and dung are being sold as food at extortionate prices. The moral life of the people has collapsed into greed and violence and betrayal. Are your ears still burning from that angry account of the mother who went to her neighbor's house expecting boiled boy for lunch? And she's angry because she was tricked? Despair over his city, the king. An inner tornado is formed inside of him. He can't do anything because kings are expecting to be able to do something, but all he is angry, helpless, watching, a little like we all felt at seeing New Orleans 2 years ago. Why should the king spend his strength to punish mothers gone mad like those in this city, ordinary men and women whose moral life is crumbled? The whole social fabric of the society is ruined. Nothing holds together, and the king therefore is obsessed with anger, and he aims it where he can, at God, at the man of God, Elisha. He wants to kill somebody. We've met this person before, you know. He is ourself. So also is the besieged city. It is you, it is me. Don't we have a wall surrounding ourselves, high and hard? A wall which when people who are near you press it a little too harsh, you say, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. Haven't you a habit that you protect with the phrase, I can't help it if, and then you insert some trait of your nature which is messing things up, but you don't want to take responsibility for it, and you're hopeless of change. I can't help it if. It's like a spear thrown from the wall of the city out at the enemy. You make me feel bad, people say. Spears out there around our wall. You're the problem. We actually believe and say these lies. You make me feel bad? No. Are we machines running like programs that can be pushed? Well, Yes, we are sometimes, but this is not our humanity. This is our low level of being. So once we've tossed our spears, then we turn to the inside of our city, to our starving, confused inner turmoil, where the children are on the menu. You think this is stretching things a little too far to say that we devour the children? This is the kind of well from which Jesus drew his words. Do you remember what he said about people who call their neighbor fool? He said, you think that it's life for life, tooth for tooth, and that nobody should murder anybody. I tell you, says he, if you call your neighbor fool under your breath, you're going to hell. Do we devour the children? Are we really so very far from the mother's appalling violence? True, our faces will never appear on the evening news with those grisly crimes on the crawl beneath. But serious religion never meant to help you up into the judgment seat or down into the snug comforts of a moral bed. These stories, Jesus' own stories, are out to outrage your sense for God's justice. And so to bring home to us a sober fact that we are not different from the criminal, that is the great value of those conversations at Attica Prison to which I refer from time to time. They and we have let ourselves be ruled by fears and instincts which are our Lord's, and we their slaves. Yes, we have colored our crimes inside the lines. We're very good at that. Very careful. But the law of God we have outraged. We have plotted to consume the children, if not our own, then others. Are we not responsible for the ruin of children's lives, east side, west side, all around the town? Oh, the city is us. The city is us. And we are its king, its queen, on whom the need of action has descended like a cloud. But our inner king can do no good. Now, stories from the Elisha cycle have brought us to this pass before. In these several sermons this summer, you have been in a space like this before, and you may be impatient, think, well, we've done that already. We've done remorse. But there's something very precious about this spirit, a still, dispassionate witness over the city of ourself, really seeing as we are, looking at the awesome, the ruthless, the heedless force that we ourselves have used to get our way. Some of you have fasted intentionally for a day or more, no doubt. Try it if you haven't. Something can happen during a fast. It's got to be a little bit long. But during that time when usually you would be making or taking food, an hour or more, two, three times a day, and you have nothing to do but to look out and see yourself, your life, from a kind of stillness, it is a very precious gift, a spiritual gift. This watching spirit. Society at large doesn't know anything about it, and they will never tell you about it because they don't know anything about this kind of looking at your nature, at even the social nature of the country or the city. Even in the churches, we're nervous about this kind of space. As we noted, some Weeks ago, it is common in church talk to worry about self-esteem, pumping up people's self-esteem. I'm okay, you're okay, people say. Bill Coffin used to say, that's not the Christian message. The Christian message is, I'm not okay, and you're not okay, but that's okay. Bill Coffin, inimitable. Still, we glide over our evil, even so much so that we say, I'm not evil. I do bad things, but I'm not evil. We hate these words. Why are we so in need of pretense? The pretense that we are good and that we're doing the best we can. Why are we so in need? There's one answer. Because we're starving inside. Yeah. We're really, really hungry. Because there's no real food coming inside our walls. We are the besieged city. We are that king. We have no freedom. We are afraid. All of which is to say that much of the time our religion does not work for us. And we revert to the most automatic behaviors. The word of God will not come in. We will not let it in. But when our religion is working, when our faith is lively, it doesn't have to be big, right? Small as a mustard seed. When it's lively, when its energy, its enzyme is out, when our trust in God is as clear as our eyes get after much weeping, then we can really, really see ourselves as we are with dispassion. No guilt. None of those fancy prayers about, I'll never do it again, I promise God, if you just let... None of that nonsense. Just plain seeing. Now we see our city. We see ourselves, our inner king, our poor, unhappy citizen neighbors. We see our violence. We see it. Sometimes. This is the first step on the treasure map, which is this story. A hidden treasure lies out there, and you are able to take guidance, to go for it, to discover your own humanity. See and do not deny. That's a clue on the map. Now, the word of God to you, Elisha, speaking to you, who are king of the city, the word of God to you, according to the story, is that although things are very bad, it must not be so for long, not forever. Real food is available, he says. Tomorrow, about this time. That's what he said. What you need will be had for the right price. That means love and justice will come back into the society of humanity tomorrow, about this time. But the captain of your guard, I don't believe it. Your inner vice president, never. The only thing that works is violence. That's what he says. God could reveal through windows everything that God is doing. This could never happen. Well, he is you too, isn't he? He's me. That part of you that thinks you always have to be defended against a heartfelt religious intention. Always defended against serious hope for great change, lest you become idealistic. Oh, no, cynicism, that's reality, right? That's what the society teaches. Do not give more attention to this Rambo spirit inside you. You have real friends, real soul friends. The story opens them right up. This is what's here. The real friends are the lepers, and they are outside the city wall. They are able to take in all that we are. But the lepers are you too, aren't you? These are the ones who can really see and not deny. Perhaps they did spend days and days angry at all the people who had thrown them out, dreaming in despair of healing and help. Perhaps they did spend their time that way, but now, today, they come to themselves. Here is something very important on this map to the hidden treasure. It's not one leper. It's many. There's four of them. Where two or three are gathered there, well, there's four. Four gathered. They are a spiritual community. They're church. This number is a sign for you. How do you come to yourself? Not alone, but talking with one another, which means not in worship alone either, but in a community, in conversation, in risking actual action, in making mistakes together, and talking about it and learning, reflecting together on what you're learning. Adults who do not gather to reflect on their spiritual work cannot be church as God's church was meant to function. They can't do it unless they're in conversations together. It's just not church the way it was meant to be. Church was formed for the transformation of souls, to turn creatures into real human beings that can love and do justly. This arises in the manner of this hidden treasure map. The church where there is no conversation like these lepers are having is a playhouse, a movie theater. What do these men see who stand outside the walls where one actually can see oneself? These lepers, they are you too. This whole parable is all about your nature. They see that they are not well. They see that the whole city is not well. I'm not okay. You're not okay. They see that we're all bound for death. If we sit here doing nothing, we die. If we try to go back to the old ways in the old city, we die. That's sure. Here's what's not sure. If we go over into the camp of our enemy, whom we fear, who knows? Maybe they'll kill us. But we don't know what they'll do. We have to go now. Now. And so the story says they arose at twilight to go to the enemy's camp. That is, at the end of the day of seeing, when the light was bright, they're ready to act. You rise in spite of your fears. Did you notice that in all these Elisha stories, only the little ones know what to do? Have you got that theme by now? It's really marvelous. It's in all the stories. The kings and the masters have a lot of power, and they love to be active, but they have no idea what to do. It's the servant, it's the slave, it's the leper who has the stillness to see and to say, why don't you try it? Why don't you do it? And so they do. They arrive in the enemy camp, and no one is there. Are you working with a fear in your own heart right now, and maybe, just maybe, no one is there? Do you know? All that they have feared does not exist. The object of fear that drove the price of dove's dung through the roof does not exist. The object of fear that drove mothers to madness does not exist. The object of fear that sent that king searching for gallows for God does not exist. Elisha did not make this miracle happen either. according to the story. It only says that the man of God knew that the time of trouble was done and that the time for faith was come. That's all he knew or did. What would bring this freedom to possibility for the city was the lepers. They're the bearing point. The ones who looked inward and saw, who dealt seriously with their situation and acted, who had spiritual friends to be in conversation with. Are you in a relationship like that? If not, do you dare to have a hope like theirs? The map to the treasure directs you forthwith to become learners in community. Go and study. Now see, finally, what these leprous men do when they come to the edge of the camp. They go into a tent and they eat and they drink. First thing they do. This is what you and I have also to do. You must eat and you must drink spiritually. You must take great concern for your own development, for your own nourishment. Before you go off and spend your thoughts about the needs of others, the liberal church tradition of the last many decades has spread a great error across the Western church, which is teaching you that you must go and serve others without telling you anything about how to take nourishment for yourself so that you may properly put a meal in front of others, which will do them eternal good. How marvelous in this story, that as soon as the lepers have eaten and drunk, they get scared and they start hoarding stuff. What this means, or can mean, is there's no once and for all solution to our moral life. We will feed properly at the hand of the Lord if we have followed the guidance of the map. And then, yes, we're going to do stupid, selfish things again. But look what happens in this story. They start doing stupid, selfish things, hiding, digging holes, putting gold chalices down under the earth. And then they say to each other, says the story, what we are doing is not right. This is a good news day. They wake up to their deep nature because they have been fed right. And they can see their own evil, even after they've had a great religious experience. They see it. You cannot grasp your real treasure, who you are, and what you must become, apart from a community of spiritual seeing and spiritual fasting, through which your fears are transformed into food, and you take food for your soul. As if from the hand of God, before you go and serve the hungering world with good news. John Donne wrote this poem 300 some years ago, 400. Wilt thou forgive that sin where I begun, which was my sin, though it were done before? Wilt thou forgive that sin through which I run and do run still, though still I do deplore? When thou hast not done, for I have more. Wilt thou forgive that sin which I have won others to sin and made my sin their door? Wilt thou forgive that sin which I did shun a year or two but wallowed in a score? When thou hast not done. For I have more. I have a sin of fear that when I have spun my last thread, I shall perish on the shore. But swear by thyself that at my death thy sun shall shine as he shines now and heretofore. And having done that, thou hast done. I fear no more. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, which is nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee.